This is FM 2.0 with the Don, Dean, Stormy, and the Grizz. Forever music.
There he is. And now we got Mr. Paul Crosby.
Hey, Paul.
The drummer extraordinaire, they call Paul Crosby.
I try.
You got your kit behind you? Please tell me you got your kit behind you. I see it, I think.
Well, I have my electric kit behind me, the one that I use at the house. But I've got my two acoustic kits.
Right, so you can turn the volume down.
Yeah.
So everybody doesn't know, Paul Crosby was in some of the biggest songs with Saliva as the drummer. And now he's got a band, Cold Words, with his two sons, which has to be amazing to have your boys with you in the studio.
Yeah, it's definitely, yeah, cool. Definitely cool, that my kids allow me to be in their band.
bands can be tense environments. So having your family in there, does that eliminate the tension or does it amplify it at times?
Well, since I'm the dad, I call all the shots. You know what I'm saying? Actually, that's not the case at all. No, it's easy. We get along. I mean, we're family. It's pretty cool though. Like some dads are into cars and they have their kids working on cars and doing other stuff, but I get to play music with my kids. It's pretty cool.
How old were they when like Click Click Boom was like everywhere?
Let me see. Zach would have been like maybe three
years old.
Yeah. Wow.
It's kind of like you, Stormy, when things were blowing up. You were so young. You didn't remember.
How old was I? What was that? 81?
80. Yeah, probably 81.
81 for
10. 5 or 6, I guess. Yeah. That's what I thought. 5 or 6, I guess.
Yeah. See, so like 3 years old, they probably didn't realize what their dad was doing. But were they coming to the studio with you, Paul? Like, would they ever?
They came to definitely shows that were local. They didn't really. Sean would come out on the road with me for a couple weeks every year in the summer. But as far as that, they would just see me if I was playing a show near home or recording near home or something like that. But they definitely came to events and video shoot locations and all that good stuff.
So when did they start taking it? Were they always interested in music because of you? Like, because dad was always playing down in the basement kind of thing?
I think they would have been into music regardless.
Really?
Like Zach came out of the womb singing, you know what I mean? they were into, and I don't know. They were always into music from a young age, but I don't think they realized they wanted to play music. They were just like big music fans, and then it just slowly developed into them wanting to play music. So I just figured that I would help them out, teach them how to record and all kind of stuff, and they would end up being in their own bands. You know what I'm saying?
But is there like any key advice you give them, like in terms of setting their expectation for the industry, or is it pretty much go hog wild?
Well, I mean, yeah, we write music for ourselves and put it out just because for our own enjoyment. And I just always tell them, do it for yourself. And if people happen to like it, bonus, you know what I'm saying? So our expectations were always to write music together, record some songs and release them to the world. And then as soon as we did that, it was a win for us. You know what I mean?
So what's the one life experience that you said, man, if I could do it all over again, here's what I would have done differently. And that's what you tell them to do.
Oh man, I don't know about that. I know for me, if I could, I probably wouldn't have done music if I could go all the way back and start
really
be an astronaut or something,
Oh, okay.
Space nerd. Wow.
Astronaut, drummer.
Yeah.
Well, Brian May's an astrophysicist. And then Jeff Skunk Baxter, we were talking earlier, he's a missile defense contractor. So you can do both.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I think I'm too late. I'm too old for the astronaut. I think the cutoff's already there. I don't think they're going to have
me. You could have been the first drummer on Mars, man.
Yeah, you would think they would want older dudes who have nothing left to lose. It's like, screw it, I'll take the
risk. You know what? NASA's not in the picture, but go find Jeff Bezos and say, hey, yes, man, put a rocket on his face.
I'm willing to fly directly into the black hole. You know, I don't care. Let's go.
Fly into the black hole. There's your new album title right there. Flying into the black hole.
I like it.
Hey, how old were the kids when they kind of realized you were a big deal, you know, like you're in a big rock band, when they actually realized who you were?
I mean, if you ask them, they always say he's always just been dad to us. You know what I mean?
Right.
To them, it's just dad, and dad just
don't know instead of nothing. To
yeah, he just plays music for work instead of whatever else other kids' dads do. You know. Yeah, it never really meant anything to them, to be honest with you.
That's awesome.
Stormy, was there ever that moment for you, or were you always kind of like, my dad's a dork?
Yeah, kind of. Like, <me. laughs>
yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, well, you know, the band that you've got put together, Cold Words, it got some incredible music. The styles are different, you know, when you listen to Saliva versus, you know, what you do in Cold Words, it's heavier times in Cold Words. And there's a different kind of energy in that band too.
Yeah,
definitely. And I think that's what really stood out to me. Now, I do want to bring up a song. What's that?
It's the youth in it.
Well, yeah,
it is.
There's songs before I get into, I mean, look, Flatline is a very special song. I know it has a lot of meaning to you. That video, just watching that video alone, Paul, hit me hard. Cause I know, you know, when you're in a band, even though the trials and tribulations you go through, they're your brothers for many years, right? That news probably hit you really hard. And that's what led to the song. Is that really what?
Absolutely. Yeah. We this song didn't exist before we got that news. And my sons, you know, me and Wayne were, well, very, very best friends, like brothers. But we actually, me and him were the last two of the original kind of lineup that were still going. Me and him spent more time together than we did with any of our family collectively, just because we were like on the road so long. But my kids, you know, they grew up calling Wayne Uncle Wayne and stuff. You know, they've known him since, you know, he's known them since they were little kids. So we got the news, and then I was
just, it didn't seem real, right? It didn't seem real, right? When you got the news, it didn't
seem real. Oh, yeah, it totally didn't seem real. It didn't feel real for days. But I told the boys, I was like, we need to write a tribute song for Wayne. And they just kind of went to work, man. And it happened pretty quick, within a few days. So,
you know, I think what really hit me in that video is it says Wayne on the caller ID.
And Wayne, then a voicemail. Yeah.
The voicemail plays.
Yeah.
And man, do you remember the last conversation you had?
Yeah, absolutely. We were talking about football via text. We stayed me and Wayne stayed closer than any of the other guys, you know, even when I parted ways with the band, you know, went our separate ways and stuff. I'm still friends with all of the guys, but me and Wayne would always check on me and vice versa. Yeah, we'd always just smack talk about football and stuff, you know. So
what was your team?
Well, I live in Houston, so now my team is it's been the Texans for quite a while, but Wayne was diehard Raiders. Like, but I'm more like a, you know, a fair weather fan. If my team's not doing good, I'll root for another team. But Wayne was diehard Raiders, even in their, you know, the best of times and the worst of times. So.
Is that a, you know, it's funny. I lived in Houston for a bit, and as a transplant for sports, that's actually something I noticed seems kind of common with Houston fans. That when the teams are winning, all on board. When they're losing, we'll go somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, probably. That's just how I am. I know that. But the Texans are actually doing good again. We got a good new quarterback now and a good team, good new coach. So I feel confident being a Texas fan.
And I do apologize.
Fair weather.
I said Kenny. It was Swinney.
Yeah.
I don't know. I had Kenny in my head for some reason.
Yeah.
I knew better than that.
It's all good.
But Eric says this too. As a concert goer and now a photographer, I try to grab pics from artists. I'm thinking Paul gave me a signature pic back in there. I know some drummers did have pics. Did you have a pic as a drummer?
Yeah, we did. Everybody in the band had one, and we, you know, sold it as a merch item at the merch table, like a complete set. It was pretty cool. But yeah, I probably gave you one back in the day. I still have some.
You ever throw your sticks out to the crowd?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Grizz has a story like that. I told the Wet Sprocket threw their sticks out and he caught one. That was
awesome. Yeah. That was a long time ago.
They mean a lot when somebody catches those. I don't think you realize, or maybe you do, but when somebody catches your stick, man, that's gotta be a
man in today's world. I'd be afraid to throw a drumstick out there. You hit somebody and then they, you know, sue.
Yeah. Right. I ended up to just walk into the edge of the stage and handed them off. You know?
In today's world.
Right. Today's world, yeah.
Well, Flatlines is an incredible song, and it's out now, and I encourage everyone to go watch the video and play it. It's just a beautiful tribute. Just in a phenomenal job.
That's all. Yeah. Well, you know, we wrote it to where obviously for us, it's about Wayne, but we wanted the song to also be to anybody listening to it. They could instantly make it about a loved one that they lost, you know, too early as well. So it's a universal song, the meaning, but for us, it's a tribute to Wayne. And obviously the video is a tribute to Wayne as well. So,
do you mind if I play a little bit of the video here for everybody?
No. I mean, I'm cool with it.
That's what we do here. We feature the songs too of the artists we're talking to and get it out there for people. This song just really is a beautiful tribute. And so let me pull it up here. And again, the song is available. It's called Flatlines. Flatline. I'm adding an S to it. It's Flatline is the song. And I'm pulling it up now. And we're going to share in this right now a little bit. This is here. Again, we're talking to Paul Crosby, drummer. All words. And just waiting to get through some commercials. You can see me kind of filibustering here, getting through these spot ads here. All right, here we go. So, get this going here. Let's get the mute button picked. And off to the races we go. So here it is, Flatline. Let's take a listen to this track right now. A little bit of this. And of course, I'm going to buffer. Start over. And that's the thing is, you know, I'm mentioning it, when you compare the sounds, that heavier groove of this band now is really good. It just hits a pocket so well.
Yeah, it's more modern and relevant, you know, because it's just a different time, you know. And then plus with the kids being younger, they're kind of pretty hip to what's kind of going on in that world, you know. And then the in the pocket stuff comes from my same style of drumming that I laid down on all the big Saliva hits, that just grooving in the pocket thing. And I think it just works together well.
It really does. That is something you bring. So that song again has a lot of meaning. And as Paul said, you know, that song isn't just about what he went through personally. It's shared for all of you to have your experiences with. And that's the beauty of songwriting and music. You have a song too that I cannot get enough of as well. It's on your Bloodwork and it's called Stained on You.
Oh yeah. That's one of my favorites.
Oh my goodness gracious. This song, a testament to a song is when you just keep playing parts back. I think that's one thing with Grizz and I, when we were friends growing up listening to songs, is we'd find these moments in a song and we'd keep playing them back over and over again because they just hit right.
Yeah.
This has that. Can you talk about this song before I play it, a little bit of it?
This song, my son Zach actually had just lyrics written to. Usually we write music first and then we have them write lyrics, but he had these lyrics and he had that melody, and he just kind of, when we were looking for song ideas, he kind of just sang it kind of how he has it. And then my son Sean, who plays guitar, had to go in and kind of write music based around that melody. So it was a different approach when writing it, but Zach already had all the lyrics written like from square one. So
yeah, well, I want to play a little bit of this and then we can talk about it here, and hopefully it won't buffer like last time. I apologize when that happens. It's kind of out of my control. And I pay for high speed internet, damn it. Give Spectrum a call after this. This is a little bit of Stained on You. This one's available. It's on Bloodwork. And it's so good. I cannot stop listening to this song.
Is anybody else not hearing it?
Thanks for interrupting me that you couldn't hear it. Hold on a second.
Yeah.
I know what it. Hold on. I know what I did wrong. Let's start over again. Oh, it was so good, too.
Yeah, you were getting into it.
I was getting into it, right. Glad you told me. I just love that part right there where you just bang in your head and you just lull you back in. So well done. Kudos on that, Paul. That's
definitely very good. Oh, yeah, that's got an awesome groove.
Love it. Isn't that great? Oh, my God. I could not stop listening to that song today. I had it on the loop.
I think that's our most streamed song to date, I believe, as well.
Oh, I believe it. It's so good. Another one I wanted to bring up with you while you're here, and I got a few minutes, is a song called Bitch that you do.
Yeah.
But you did that with Ron Bumblefoot Ty.
Yeah, yeah.
Who I've had on the show before. Talk about working with him on this.
It was pretty epic. We already had the song written. That song my son Sean wrote most of, but I was still touring with Saliva at the time, and we did a little run with Dave Ellison from Megadeth's band. They were called Ellison, and Bumblefoot happened to be playing with them on that run. Like he was just playing, filling in on guitar or whatnot. So we made friends. He's an awesome dude. All those guys are great. And we, you know, we exchanged numbers and we were texting back and forth. And I was kind of like, man, this song would be great with a mean solo on it. We should get somebody, somebody incredible to do it. And I was like, man, I wonder if I'm just going to ask Bumblefoot, you know, he'll probably say no, but I just kind of said, hey man, you know, working on this band with my sons, we have this song and I would love for you to do a solo on it, you know? And he was like, sure, send me the song. And that's okay. So I just sent him over the song and told him where I wanted him to do the solo at. And probably within like 6 hours, he sent it back. And I was like, man, holy cow.
That's the beauty of technology today, because back, you know, 30 years ago, you couldn't go, hey, I'm going to send you the song real quick. Can you put a lead on it?
Hey, Don, there you go.
The same day, yeah.
Paul, check this. So Eric tried to send through a pic through Facebook. For whatever reason, it wasn't coming through. So I said, here, send it to my number. Let's see.
Oh, there it is. There it is. That's one of my old
pics. Yeah. He found it.
That's definitely authentic.
It's authentic. You know, frame that thing, Eric. Don't let anyone get it.
Very cool. Crosby
special. Well, let's play a little bit of that song. Because it's so good. Bitch is another
great. The solo is over the top, man. That Bumblefoot solo is like, it's incredible.
It is. It's fantastic. It's worth everybody hearing, because now they got to go buy it after this. This is just the title alone, right? But this is Bitch with Ron Bumblefoot Ty on it. And let me not make the same mistake I did last time and have the wrong audio button clicked. There we go. Now everyone will hear it. That's important when you're playing music. All right, here we go.
Bitch, now look who's laughing on the other end. Bitch, now look who's laughing on the other end.
How do you like that for a guitar part in a song? Holy smokes. You're like, oh yeah, that was worth it. Glad you reached out to him, Paul.
That makes me smile every time I hear it, man. he was like, well, give me some ideas of what you want me to do. And I was like, dude, just shred. I just want you to shred. That's pretty much what he did. So
he sure did.
Sweet.
Who's the person that made you pick up a set of drumsticks and make you want to play drums? Was there a drummer that you heard, or what got you?
Well, the original, what made me want, interested in drums was, my adopted brother. He came in, my parents adopted him when he was about 12, and I looked up to him like a lot, and he knew how to play drums. And he was always air drumming, and I just thought he was so cool. So I was kind of like, I want to like play drums. That's when I started asking for drums for Christmas from my parents and stuff. Although it took me a couple of years for them to actually get me a drum set, but Lars Ulrich, Dave Lombardo from Slayer, Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden. Nico. That's kind of like when I actually got a drum set, and what really pushed me was those drummers from all the power metal bands of the 80s and stuff.
Can I tell a funny Dave Lombardo story?
Sure.
I got to cover, they used to do Mayhem Fest every year. They stopped it, but that was when all the big metal bands, death metal bands, would get together and tour. And in this case, it was Marilyn Manson was a headliner, Bullet for My Valentine, and Slayer was on the bill. And they're like, you get to interview Dave Lombardo. So I'm in the green room at the amphitheater, And they invite me back, and I walk in, and right away I see the big tattooed head of Kerry King, his bald head, you know, and you're like, oh my God. Because you just imagine that, you know, Slayer, death, and this guy is going to be so mean to me. He walks in, and he's playing with a remote control helicopter in his dressing room. Right? And I go, oh, hi, Kerry. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? He's like, I'm trying to learn how to fly this over people so I could drop, like, water balloons on them. Like a kid. He's like a kid. I was like, this is crazy. Like, this whole image you have of, like, Slayer, and he was just, like, this big kid back there. And Dave was great.
Just they're all really nice guys, just normal dudes, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's that perception. And it was, like, it blew me away that Kerry King was, like, just a super, like a young kid back there. Yeah. Well, your band is awesome, Paul. I'm so glad you're going out and doing this, and keep it up. I love it.
Yeah, man. We're planning on just doing it, you know, just because we love to do it. So
that's what I love to hear.
Yeah, man.
I think something you said that was important is that you're writing the songs for yourselves more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's important.
Because you enjoy it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We don't have any preconceived, you know, notions of what's to come. We just do it, and hopefully people like it, you know. We're still going to do it whether they like it or not, though.
Yeah.
Well, I got
that's you. Rock and roll.
Cranking you at the gym today with those songs, so you're awesome. Good. Thank you so much, Paul Crosby, and everyone that was watching tonight, thank you for your support, and we'll catch you next week.
Thank you
for having me. Thank you.
Good night, all.
Yeah. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you. Good night, Paul.